Today on The Breakdown, it's main event time, baby! And we've got a hand that has got the poker world a twitter, a flutter. They're talking about it a lot, you know? David Diaz is in this hand, and he is up against Jeffrey Farns. There are 14 players left in the main event, which is obviously significant for lots of reasons. $10 million for first place kind of reasons. But also, we are on a money jump spot right here and now. They've all locked up $410,000. Yes, but the next guy out does not get to take in the $115,000 pay jump. So, you know, like, you don't want to bust right now if you can avoid it, certainly. And then the pay jumps start to get a lot more interesting, of course, as you go. David Diaz is going to be in what can only be called a cooler spot, a crazy cooler spot. But it's the main event. And can David Diaz do all the calisthenics necessary and do all the matrix bullet moving around with your body necessary to dodge them all and survive and live to fight another day? Or is this just impossible to avoid? We're going to get into it right now on The Breakdown with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Hey. This is going to be a classic. I have a sense of it.
Wow.
And by that, I don't mean an all-time great.
Oh.
I mean, this hand gives me the vibes of breakdown hands we've done years past, many years ago, where it's just like, there's not going to be a ton of stuff here that is new wave poker. There's just going to be like pure logic that happens. And I think it's going to really make sense at the end, man. I think we're going to find something. You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah, man.
We're going to walk down the path and we're going to do the mescaline. And in the end, we'll know more. You know, you didn't know we were going to do mescaline on this podcast, did you?
I was not aware that we were, and I wish you had told me.
But you're always prepared, right?
I am always prepared, but I would have brought my pouch, my mescaline pouch.
Isn't it just like a few yards away?
Yeah, but I didn't bring it.
Right.
It's over there. I'm not getting it.
Of course. That would require too much effort.
It's not even about the effort. It's about the insult.
Yes.
You insulted me.
Yes, I did.
By not... Well, I'm finishing that thought.
Oh, okay.
By not telling me ahead of time. And so I insult you by not getting my pouch, even though it hurts me to not have the pouch more than it hurts you, admittedly.
And the thing is, the thing that the audience needs to know is you really got me. It really hurt.
I know it does. That's the thing. There's an emotional pain, even though there'll be a lot of more physical pain for me without the pouch. There's a lot of emotional pain for you right now.
Uh-huh.
Not so much when you're actually doing the mescaline, I'll admit. You'll be flying like a dove.
Right.
In one of those, you know... What are those things called where you go skydiving, but it's indoors?
Indoor skydiving.
Like a dove in an indoor skydiving, you know, thing.
Facility. Yeah.
Yeah, but in the actual, you know, tornado of it or whatever.
Yeah. The
you
facility
know
while the facility is operating.
Well, yeah, sure. It's, I mean, but yeah, okay. I'm not going to parse the words. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not that guy anymore. Semantics guy. I'm not that guy.
You're a new guy?
I'm a new guy. I'm reborn.
All right, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I love caramel. And I'm calling it caramel now instead of caramel. That's a big change.
Are you also
change.
Saying harassment instead of harassment?
I am not saying that yet.
You're not, but you feel yourself creeping that direction?
I will say this. I now say comparable instead of comparable, taking a step backward there, and preferable instead of preferable, same thing.
I don't like that.
No.
I like both of the ones that you aren't saying anymore better.
Of course. Those are how you say it.
Oh, you're just saying that you've accidentally started saying them this
way. I wouldn't say accidentally. I'm saying it's very much a choice. I'm a new guy. I've made
You're a new version. Shittier guy.
Do you think caramel is worse than caramel?
Yeah.
So you like all the old stuff better.
Old stuff. What do you mean by old stuff?
All the classics. I will say this. I now use bananas, but I do not eat bananas. No, I don't mean it like that.
I'm just going to leave that up to the imagination.
Like that.
That was voluntary.
Everything is sexual, but it's not. I don't mean it in any sexual way.
How do you
I
mean it?
I use the bananas.
How do you mean it then? Like Donkey Kong? Like you're throwing them?
No, more as a paste. You know, paste that you
For
need.
What? Sexual stuff?
No. Like a skin paste. That you rub on your lover.
Okay.
You know, You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but everybody knows all about that.
But it's not sexual when you're rubbing it on. Sometimes, sometimes it depends. It can also be a healing paste that you could rub on a family member.
Sexually?
Maybe.
Wow.
It depends. I'm not here to judge.
I'm not
here to judge.
This new guy, I don't know about him. I don't know if he should be allowed, you know, in society, this new guy that you've this become.
Also, applesauce, big part of this.
Okay, that's enough
life.
Of the sauce
big
stuff.
Big part of this.
We don't even know about any more pastes or sauce.
You don't want me to tell you how I'm using the sauce?
When I asked you to tell me about yourself, I didn't know you were going to go into sexual pastes and sauces.
It wasn't sexual. I'm saying it's not sexual.
Okay.
I mean the banana. The applesauce is very sexual. Okay. The banana is really mostly not sexual, depending on who you're using
it with. Can
you
tell me something not disturbing about the new guy?
I'm watching more game shows. A lot more game. And I mean like old school TV Land type game shows, you know.
Are you watching Wheel of Fortune?
Absolutely not. Fuck Wheel of Fortune.
Why not?
That's Pat Sajak can jump off a log as far as I'm concerned.
You should be concerned about insulting Pat Sajak. That guy's got connections.
Not anymore. He's just a pawn in the game.
Wow.
He's a pawn in the game. Tweet it out. I don't care.
Jonathan Levy said it.
Tweet it out Sajak's with my name
coming
on
for
it.
You.
At me. Go ahead and at me. See how people always say don't at me? I'm saying at me.
Are you watching all of the like Ellen DeGeneres game shows?
Oh, like family game night type stuff with Jane Lynch also, a big one.
That type of stuff where people get hurt and things?
Oh, that's like Wipeout.
I don't know. Well, there's like an Ellen DeGeneres one where people get hurt.
Oh, I think that's like the Wipeout stuff. When I said family game night, I guess I meant celebrity game night with Jane Lynch.
I don't know anything. You watching the Family Feud?
Of course I'm watching Family, but only old school Family Feud, pre-Steve Harvey.
Louis Anderson?
Louis Amster, and actually even before
Louis
Anderson.
Amster?
Louis Amster.
He's Amster without an H.
he's dead now.
Louis Amster.
He's died.
Yeah, so now he's, instead of Louis Anderson, he's Louis Amster.
Yeah, you don't say the whole name is out of respect.
And you change it.
That's what the new guy does. That's the new guy.
That's not even just not saying the whole name. You also just changed the name.
Louis Amster. So him and, of course, Richard Dawson.
Is it but kind of like
the new
Fight
guy
Club?
Says Richard Dawson.
Is it kind of like Fight Club, like in death, he has a name?
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay.
No. Yeah, a lot of game shows, a lot of old school game shows. Mostly game shows I've already seen before, so I know the outcomes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I know what's going to happen.
You want it to be safe.
And I know,
you want to feel safe about it.
Sometimes I know the answers and feel good, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You sound like a real nice, interesting new guy.
Thanks. Yeah, that's new Jonathan.
It's great.
Try cocooning one time, Grant, and let your caterpillar turn into a beautiful, wing-flapping insect.
All right. I'll take that under advisement.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I'm here for you.
Are you? That's great. It's nice to know that you always have somebody in your corner if you're a poker guy.
Yeah, you do. You do. You've got the poker guy legion, as well as me, the other poker guy.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
That's a good combo. What do you think about that as a nickname for the fans, the poker guy legion? I kind of hate it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It sounds awful.
It's pretty bad.
I don't like calling them anything. They're just the people. You know?
Well, this leads me to believe that we need to have a discussion of what listeners of the podcast should be called.
Yeah.
Of course, we should create names for them. And of course, they should be somewhat insulting. Like, that's the only way to go, right?
I feel like they're not worth even insulting.
Wow.
You know, this is how Taylor Swift feels about her fans.
So
I've been watching documentaries on Taylor Swift. She's very...
All right, so,
she hates her
fans. All right, so Poker Guys listeners, we're gonna come up with some names for you. What are examples of, like, celebrities who have people who follow them intensely? And, like, what are the names of those people?
Right.
Do Taylor Swift's fans have a thing? They probably do.
I'm sure they do. There's the Beliebers for Justin
Bieber.
Okay,
the Beliebers. That's a great one. So it's going to be something like that.
Yeah, it's just something just like that for the poker guys.
No, it's just like that. Keep that in mind when knowing that we're coming up with something for you. And the first one I got, and this is based on how you feel about the audience, is the Nothings.
Oh, that's not good.
The
enough.
Nothings, the Nobodies.
Like I don't like it.
Okay.
It's too on the nose.
Yeah.
How about, speaking of another celebrities fandom nickname, I thought of another one. De Niro's Dozen. He's got 12 people who really like him. who still really like him. Obviously, there were more.
Right.
It was De Niro's, you know, double dozen. There were 24.
Double dozen, yeah.
Double dozen.
Okay.
Deca dozen. 120.
You're really killing it right now.
Thanks a lot. I don't want to call them the Nothings.
All right. How about the Guy Heads?
I hate that.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'm still leaning so far towards the people. I like that.
It's just too, it's too interchangeable with other things, like, you know, any group of people.
How?
It's a good question.
Thank you.
I'll have to get into...
You're not explaining things well.
I'm not.
Thank you.
No, you're right.
I appreciate that you could own it, that you're bad at talking now and before. I like that about you, that you're bad at talking, both now and before.
How about the underlings?
Yeah. These things all feel like too obviously insulting that they're not even... They need to be more subtle.
Okay.
It's got to be like, it's almost, we don't even realize that it's a put down, but it is a put down kind of a thing, you know? The helpers.
The 103 IQ people. Is that a put down?
Yeah.
But it's like subtle because 100 is technically average.
I think 110 is actually an average IQ.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 100 is supposed to be, but I think it actually is, when they do it, is 110.
Because people got smarter or the IQ test got dumber?
Yeah, I think the IQ has got dumber. I don't think people got smarter.
Okay. That seems likely.
Yeah. There's a regression there. The group of triers, the hard trying group.
Maybe we need more of a mascot type thing for them to be.
Oh, yeah.
Like the
mascot.
The Wingbats.
Hey, that's weird. It's fucked up. Hey, let's pick something that's like disease ridden, though, and kills people without meaning to.
I mean, bats.
Yeah,
like,
bats.
That's how COVID
right.
started.
Oh, yeah. So. We call it like the COVID bats.
The poor guy's COVID bats. That's what you are. Congratulations.
The COVID riddled bats.
That's great. Yeah. So if you're a fan of the Poker Guys, you're now one of the COVID riddled bats.
Let's make some t-shirts up.
Yeah.
Those things are going to sell like hotcakes.
They
Grant.
Sure are.
Yeah.
They sure are.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we did that. That was great.
Yeah. Hey, so in this hand, there's a big dynamic. We've already done a main event hand, which we thought the main event dynamic should play in more so than it seemed to, actually.
The Mike Mattisau hand you're referring to?
Where actually Mattisau clearly thought the main event dynamic was going to play in too. He was going to get some folds that he could not get.
Yeah.
I would have thought it would have worked a lot, but the solver wasn't having anything to do with it. The solver was calling the three bet all in with the bad flush, and so did the actual player on day five of the main event. Here we are much deeper in the main event. There's crazy amounts of money on the line. How tight are you supposed to play, Grant?
Well, I think we've touched on this many times in the past. Now, there is the non-technical, non-poker answer that we always have to kind of dance around and should be sure to mention that, like, the amount that this money matters to the individual does matter a little bit in these decisions.
It does.
Like, it shouldn't from a poker perspective, but without question, a lot of players who make it this deep in a tournament where you can win this much money, it's the money jumps are significant.
I mean,
right?
to be clear, like, there's some people where if you were to win $1 million, that's like a deeply life-changing event. And while winning $10 million is also a more of a life-changing event, the first million is way more important than the last nine, right?
Yeah.
And if that's true, then you probably should adjust your play, right?
Like, no, I don't know how these people got in the 10K tournament then.
You know, you satellite in.
Yeah, I suppose so. That's possible.
Yeah, a lot of people satellite in. Chris for $500, $1,000.
Yeah, Chris Moneymaker style.
Yeah, even much less, yeah.
Yeah.
The first time I played the main event, I satellited in what was effectively for $1.10. You know, I mean, it's not really exactly right. It was more than that, of course, really. But I played a bunch of $1.10 full tilt satellites, which I won a bunch of those, which got me tickets to bigger satellites, which I won some of those, which got me tickets to the big satellite. And then I finally won one of those, you know? So, I mean, really, I probably put in, you know, I don't know, $700 or something to it. But whatever it was, like... I could also argue it was $1.10 because there was that one path that one time. So, you know, that's another way it can happen for a lot of people.
Fair.
Also, a lot of people are playing this who put up 10K who do not have much money, as you know.
Yes, that is for sure true. And, you know, there's a lot of shady stuff that can go on with that as well, but we don't have to get into that.
Right.
But from a more technical perspective, once we're at this point where the current payout is what,
$410,000.
If you didn't have crap in your bank account before this tournament, you're playing it. $410,000 is already life-changing.
I guess that's true. Now, there's going to be taxes, and you probably don't have all of yourself a lot of the time.
Let's assume you have all of yourself.
Okay.
After taxes, let's say it's $250, $260, something like that.
That's fine.
That's a huge deal for you if, like, you were struggling,
Month
to month. That's like, it buys you a couple of years if you don't fuck it up.
Yep.
Right? So you're already there. maybe you think maybe it's probably pretty hard to think about it in how many years it buys you, but like the next money jump is 115K more, maybe that buys you another year.
I mean, if 250 buys you 2 years, that should buy you another one. Yeah. That's, at least one more year.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
But if we're forgetting about this part, about the like, mm-hmm. if you don't have enough money to be in this event or you got lucky to be in this event and this money is huge to you, forgetting about that, there's of course the factor of like, these are such top heavy payout structures that from a pure expected value perspective, going for it has to be right. Even when the money jumps are to a lot of the players, bank accounts are a really big deal.
Yeah, I strongly agree. Like, I mean, locking up $410,000 is cool, but we're actually very close now to winning crazy amounts of money.
Right.
And trying to like sit back. I mean, of course, this is a tension between, you know, trying to pick your spots and trying to run over the table when you have opportunities to, because if the table's going to let you run over them, you should probably do it here, right? But at the same point, there's only 14 players left in the main event, and this is a main event group that has got a lot of guys who are trying to play well and trying to play optimally, meaning they're going to push back.
Yep.
You know, and like we've seen, there's many examples of this. I think of Adrian Attenborough as one guy who's absolutely just going to, he calls all in with like 17 players left with just one pair and stuff like that. You know, he gets three bet and the guy goes bet, bet, shove, you know, and it's not the best kicker even, you know, king, queen on a king high board, I believe it was, or a queen high board. But, he thought for a while and called all in. Like, so some guys are not going to, you're not going to be able to run over so straightforwardly.
Right. But with 14 left, there will be those people left in the main event. Of course,
there has to be.
Yeah.
There has to be.
And, you know, part of your job is to try to figure out who those people are.
Yes. Push a little harder.
And, you know,
or a lot harder.
Even for the people who the money jump might buy you another year of, like, you know, figure out how you're going to make money type of thing. Even for those people, they probably should be going for the win anyway, because if you think about winning the $10 million, let's say you get $5 or $6 million after taxes, like with conservative investment, that can set you up for life.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So
that's enough.
So that's kind of a big deal.
Yep.
Right.
And of course, being the main event champion has other benefits, so it's worth more than just the prize money.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, even being a final tableist is a big difference than being a final two tables, I think. Like, if you're a final tableist, that's something that stays with you for the rest of your career.
Sure.
In a different way. And, like, you can there's things you'll get from that, I think. Maybe small things, but there are things you will get. So that's another, when there, with 14 left, you're kind of far away from that. So you're five players away, right?
Yeah.
So that's just another reason to be going for it and trying to win the big pots, probably calling a little more and like taking the spots a little bit more than you otherwise might.
And I've never been in a spot this high leverage, but I'm certain it's easier said than done.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's really easy to talk about, and unless you're built this way or have been here before or with a lot of money, it may be really hard to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the point, right?
Right. Big time. Big time point. So that's where we are.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very exciting place to be.
Yeah, I'd like to be in that place someday.
Yeah.
Hey, this hand was suggested on Discord by two great ones, Chris Jones and Casper.
Is Chris Jones a great one?
Yeah, I think at this point he's reaching great status.
Reaching great status is really different than a great one. My goodness.
Why do you always have to shit all over Chris Jones? What's with you and Chris Jones? What did he do to you?
When I was four,
yeah,
Chris Jones lived across the street.
Okay.
I didn't like him.
Okay. Cool. So,
that's what happened.
It would be interesting if that were true, but I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either. I mean, I know who lived across the street. Well, I think I mean, I don't really know. I guess he could have been like locked up the whole time.
Yeah.
So then, yeah.
You didn't like him for being locked up.
Yeah. What's up with that? Chris Jones.
Yeah, how dare you, Chris Jones?
Yeah, no, I just, you know, everyone else at Rec Poker so nice.
And so is Chris Jones. Oh, well. That's just the Chris Jones hate you're going to get on this podcast.
Pour some gasoline on that bridge and light that match, baby.
Let's go. All right,
burn it down.
What do you got to say about Casper? You want to insult Casper?
No, Casper's one of the all-timers.
Yeah, nothing bad to say.
I can't say anything bad about the friendly ghost.
Right.
That man kills it every time.
But Chris Jones.
Chris Jones sucks.
Wow. Strong take from Jonathan Levy.
That's right.
I don't feel that way, Chris.
I think we will still be invited on the podcast again, too, their podcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at least I will.
I will deny ever having said this, though.
And, you know, there's a recording of it. It's going on the internet.
But who's going to remember by then?
Nobody's going to
remember. Exactly. So it's fine.
Anyway, here we go.
Great.
14 players remain. We are on the cusp of 115K money jump. The current payout is 410.
Yeah, one more player to go, and we're there.
So that's significant, but of course, should have eyes on that $10 million first prize if you can manage to stomach it.
Yeah.
400K, 800K blinds. Jeffrey Farns, who is certainly a candidate to be one of the players who is a little scared in this spot. Up until this point,
right.
Farns had under 200K on Hendon Mob. He had just 2 days before the main event had his biggest score ever by a lot, 61K in an MGM Grand event.
Uh-huh.
So maybe because of that, he feels like he's kind of more able to be more loosey-goosey because he had the 61K score, and he's like, oh, it's like...
I mean, not anymore, though.
No, probably not.
Day one, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, now that he's already won 400K and there's, you know, $9.6 million still to win and he's 13 players away from it, I don't think he's feeling loosey-goosey because he won 61K
right.
once.
So Jeffrey Farns is having a very good poker week for his poker
yes.
career. And, you know, also because of his history, is a candidate to be one of the people who's going to be tight in these spots, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
We don't know that for sure, but just based on the Hendon.
Sure.
He's got 28.15 million in front of him, so that's like 35 blinds. He opens at 2.3 million from the hijack with two kings, king of spades, king of diamonds. Kind of a big open for the stage of a tournament, wouldn't you say?
2.3. Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's fine, right?
It's fine. Nobody needs to really talk about it. Yeah. But, so he's in the hijack. David Diaz is in the small blind, folds to him. He has ace of spades, queen of hearts, and about the same stack. They're very close in the stack. 27.8 million for Diaz.
So jeez.
35 blinds also.
Yeah.
What is your preferred way to proceed in this spot?
My initial... He opened the cutoff, right?
Hijack.
The hijack. I mean, mostly I think we're just 3-betting this, aren't we? We just 3-bet fold this hand? Right?
3-bet to... So, I mean, he opened kind of big, which makes it a little crappy.
Oh, when you said 2.3, you meant 2.3 million. I thought you meant 2.3x.
No, 2.3 million.
Oh, that makes so much more sense while you're talking about it. But yeah, that's a big open.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and that really affects our 3-bet sizing
yeah.
for sure, especially because we're out of position. We have to make it like 8 million?
Yeah, 7.5 at least.
We're putting in like almost a third of our stack here with ace-queen, and we don't really want to call it off.
Basically turning it into a bluff.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay to call, but it sucks that it's off suit, and now we're inviting in the big blind,
at least,
and we're out of position to both players.
At least the bigger sizing makes it slightly less likely the big blind comes along.
That's true. But us calling makes it a little more likely the big blind comes along.
I just mean in the case that we call, of course. So you didn't need to say that part, but that's okay.
Right. Fair enough. I did say that because you didn't say in case that we call, and no one can read your mind, Grant.
I mean, how would it not mean in the case that we call when we're talking about it? We're not folding. We have ace queen.
Yeah. Anyway, so are we going to... I'm just going to change the subject on
good idea.
I feel like I lost that one. So do you think he should just be calling because it's almost a 3X open?
You know,
it creates... We could also 3-bet small anyway.
We're out
just
of position.
Just to isolate. We're doing it mostly to isolate, not to...
I don't know if isolation is worth that much.
We make it like 7 million instead.
It's still a huge chunk of our stack.
It is.
I think I prefer a call, but I always lean more towards a call in spots like this than
yes.
you do. Especially at the 30 to 40 stack depth. 30 to 40 blind stack depth.
I think both options are really fine, I have to say. I think if... Farns is opening even one spot closer to us, like the cutoff or button.
Yeah.
I think a 3-bet is much more called for. Hijack is a little less called
for.
We're
still bluffing though, right?
It depends on how tight everyone's playing.
Yeah.
Like you, for example, are a guy who always wants to call 3-bets these days with a whole host of hands, and so we're not really bluffing if we have ace queen against a guy like you in a cash game anyway. Or like
sure,
a
but this is a 35
situation.
Blind effective stack main event, two tables left situation.
Right. So the question is, like, I don't know that Adrian Attenborough is folding ace jack suited here if we 3-bet. So you know, and king queen suited and stuff like that.
Jeffrey Farns is a candidate too.
Yes, he is. That's the question.
Yeah.
Like, who is this guy? So with his very the fact that he has such a small Hendon is a reason to call here. Oh, well, I mean, because we're turning like a hand that's sort of too good into a bluff,
yeah.
right?
Like we're not going with this hand, right? There's no chance.
No way, especially against this guy.
Yeah.
Based on his Hendon anyway,
yeah.
right? That's all we're basing it on. But assuming Farns isn't a nut bag,
yeah.
which I would guess he isn't based on the little bits I know about
sure.
him. These are reasonable reasons to call, I have to say. I don't hate a call at all. I think if I were at the table, I'd be pretty scared and would really want to call, you know, instead of raise, because I don't want to put myself in. I don't even want to just raise, get called, then have to C bet and get called and now put in half my stack and not know what to do and hate my life, you know?
Well, I also, another factor here is I don't know, like, the general skill level when there are 14 left. I know the final table was, like, a pretty high skill level average for as far as main event historically, mm-hmm. right? That's kind of the consensus. Would you agree with that?
I think that's true. I mean, Jorstad, who won, Attenborough in second, both seem to be quite good. Eames seemed good. Philippe Suki, we've done a thing on before. Asher Conniff was still in there. These guys seem like they were pretty good.
Okay.
I didn't really watch it, though, in fairness.
With 14 left, maybe there were a lot of players who weren't that good, too.
Maybe.
And I assume David Diaz considers himself among the better players remaining. He did win a bracelet. It's been 10 years, but he won a bracelet.
He has, you know, at this point in the event, he's got about, before the 400K, of course, that he is already locked up.
Yeah.
He's won over 2 million live.
Yeah, so.
That's pretty good.
So, I mean, if you think that you have a skill edge in any way, like, and it's marginal, probably the lower variance option is better, right?
Yeah, probably.
Especially considering the main event is the best structure in the world and you have a lot of time. You don't have to, like, rush to get out of the 30 to 40 blind stack range.
Yeah, and to be clear, the 2 million that Diaz had won, only 352K of it was his bracelet. So, like, he's won 1.7 million besides that. He's been in lots of spots.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, this is the thing, too, where having, like, 40 blinds isn't that bad, right? So you don't necessarily, like, it's like blowing up your stack a little bit to put in a big three bet and then lose a big pot here when you don't have to.
Right. There's, like, so many times. It feels, maybe not so many times, but it feels like you're going to get shoved on a fair amount. You just lose the 7 million. There's also spots where there's, like, the 994 flop, and you bet, and the guy shoves or calls, and then, like, are you going to keep going, really? Like, are you really going to bet again on the 8?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, you're not getting shoved on very often.
Yeah.
You said you get shoved on a fair amount. It's not that often at all, right? Like, what's shoving on us, really? Queens plus?
Right, okay.
Ace-king? I don't know for sure queens are shoving. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
I would guess jacks aren't, mostly. Unless we've been three-betting like crazy, I would guess jacks aren't. So, like, you know, when we get shoved on, we can feel very comfortable. Unless, I mean, there's been some crazy guys, you know, out here, too. Was it Dobrik? Was that the guy's name? But there's been some guys who've been, Dobrik, who finished fifth. He's, you know, he, among many people, were doing, like, a lot of light three bets and then, like, really going for it post-flop and stuff like that. So maybe they have some four bets in them. Was the guy named Rebby or something like that? Yeah, Rebby. He finished 16th, actually, who was doing lots of even, like, light four and five bets. But, you know, there aren't that many of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I feel more comfortable calling here.
Yeah.
Even if it's not the main event in most cases. Mm-hmm. Like, as long as the structure isn't super turbo-y, with this deck depth, I kind of like a call.
I don't hate a call at all. I think a call is perfectly fine.
That's what Diaz does.
Okay.
With ace of spades, queen of hearts, the big blind folds. The pot is 6.2 million. Nitro betting is 6.2 million times as good as getting bit by a mosquito.
Depending on who you are.
Yeah. Some people really like getting bit by a mosquito.
Some people hate it more than normal, too, and it's way worse than that.
Yeah.
It's both.
Right. Point being, nitro betting is good.
Oh, yeah. Better than... In almost every case. Nearly every case, better than being bit by a mosquito. Not every case, obviously.
In most cases, better than having your finger broken by, like, a vice.
Right. But again...
Not in all cases.
There are a few clear examples.
We have to be honest. It's an ad. It's the law.
Yeah.
Right?
We're not allowed to lie. Yeah.
Anymore. Yeah, what are other things that nitro betting is better than?
But not always better than?
Not always, though.
Like, I would say there's a lot of other physical ailments. That's true. Like lupus.
Yeah.
It's mostly better than lupus.
Yeah.
It's usually better than lupus, but it's not always better than lupus.
Right, right. It's often better than being foreclosed on by the bank.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like catching a tomato to the eye. Mostly better than.
Yeah, you know, there's the case where it's like, damn, that's a really good tomato, and a little bit of juice gets in your mouth.
Yeah, what a flavor.
Yeah, like, that was well worth it.
Is this organic?
Yeah, is this from some coastal soil? Yeah. I can tell.
Yeah.
You know, I can taste the sea.
I can taste the love that this farmer put in this tomato.
Yeah, but in most cases, though, nitro betting is better. And a big part of that is all the promotions that the Poker Guys people get.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And you know, of course, you have to use the link in the description of this podcast to be one of the Poker Guys people on nitro betting. And you want to do that. Believe me, you want to, because you get access to our monthly tournament, which is a big deal in its own right, because it's just great.
It's really great.
There's other promotions, though, of course. They do free stuff for you that has real rewards, like March Madness brackets. You get in for free, baby, but you can actually win something, baby.
You know, not only do they have free stuff, they also do free styling now. So they'll
like
just...
Like hairstyling?
No. Well, yes, but no.
They'll make you look like Guy Fieri in a heartbeat.
Yes, but I mean like rap freestyling. So like give them a few details about yourself and they'll bust out a cool 3-minute, whole thing there about you and, you know, your mom and the whole deal. It's great.
You and your mom.
Yeah.
They always include the mom. We've asked them to stop.
Yeah. But, too many diss tracks from Nitro Betting, yeah, but what
are but
you
it's worth
do?
It for it's all still- the great features, including the Poker Guys promotions. Yeah. They have sports betting. They have casino games. They have poker. Get in there. Don't get bit by a mosquito unless it's that one really good one.
Yeah, the one you want.
Yeah, do the Nitro Betting thing instead.
Okay.
All right. We're heading to the flop heads up. We've got Jeffrey Farnes as the opener from the hijack with two kings, king of spades, king of diamonds. David Diaz called the small blind with ace, queen off, ace of spades, queen of hearts.
Okay.
The flop is king of hearts, queen of diamonds, deuce of diamonds. What a deal for Jeffrey Farnes. 14 left in the main event. Just flop top set.
Even has king of diamonds in his hand as like a, you know, less to be worried about kind of thing. Nice. It's very nice.
Yeah. The things that you are more worried about, well, you're worried about diamonds, but you're worried about Jack 10 suited. Feels like it could be out there too.
I suppose. Yeah, sure. Jack 10 suited. But like King Jack of diamonds is not a threat.
Nope.
Because we block it. King 10 of diamonds is blocked. Like that's nice.
Most of the diamonds that you're going to be up against are, there aren't going to be that many, right? There's maybe Jack 10 of diamonds, maybe Ace 10 of diamonds.
Ace 10 of diamonds, I think.
But
maybe Ace Jack of diamonds.
I don't know if there's any other Ace X of diamonds. Diaz might just fold or 3-bet those hands.
Like, yeah, I don't think he's calling Ace 9 of diamonds at this stack depth from the small blind.
Right.
I would expect he's...
Probably mostly folding.
Yeah, mostly folding and a little bit of 3-betting.
Yeah. So Diaz checks. He flopped middle pair.
Mm-hmm.
As far as this is our board and we crushed it, and there are draws out there to be afraid of. So betting feels good.
We should definitely bet this.
So he does bet. He bets 2.7 million. How do you feel about the sizing into 6.2?
I think it's fine. I think you could even go a little bigger, quite frankly.
Because it's a wet board?
It's such a wet board. Now, we do block the hell out of some of the stuff.
It's pretty tough for Diaz to have top pair.
But that's okay because the thing we're trying to charge are the draws, right? We don't want to give the draws a great price. That's all. We don't necessarily want them to fold, but we want to charge them appropriately.
Yeah.
So I think this is a perfectly fine amount, but I would be okay if he went bigger, too.
Three and a half?
Like a little more than half. Like 55%, I think, is okay as well.
Do you think Diaz would consider folding ace-queen at any size that got big enough?
No, not for one bet.
Yeah.
I mean, if he went over pot,
that's
never happening, right? I think 3.5 is like probably the max you'd ever see in this type of spot, except against the weirdest players. So I think you're just always calling ace queen once and seeing what comes.
All right, so Farnes goes 2.7.
Yeah.
Diaz calls with his ace queen because what the hell else are you supposed to
do? Of course we call, and we're like, it'd be cool if it went check on the turn because then we're usually ahead.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
And then we're probably checking most rivers and hoping that he checks back. And if he bets, we might call.
Yeah.
An
ace could come on the turn of river. That might help. You know, we can get called by a worse hand, like
possible.
Ace jack, ace 10 type stuff. Even a suited ace, whatever.
Yeah. Pot's 11.6 million now.
Okay.
The turn is the queen of spades.
Uh-oh.
Icy in here. It's getting a little cold in here.
Well, we have an out. We have the one out
still.
And that would be great. If we could hit that out.
So Diaz makes trip queens on the king of hearts, queen of diamonds, deuce of diamonds, queen of spades board. And of course, Farnes now has kings full and is loving life. And he's loving it even more when Diaz leads into him for 4 million. What a feeling with 14 left in the main event. Diaz almost never has quad queens. He didn't 3-bet preflop, so we don't really have to worry about that.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, if he does, he does. Like...
Right, but I mean, even if you're just worried because my main event is at stake here.
Fine.
Like, you don't really have to worry about the nuts when we have the second nuts here.
Agreed.
Yeah. It's pretty great. Let's talk about the lead. How do you feel about Diaz leading for 4 million?
I love it.
Because you expect the king to check back.
I think the king is... A king is checking back. Aces is checking back. Jacks is checking back. Everything's checking back. Hands that are beating us maybe not checking back, but that's not our... We can't worry about that.
Yeah.
We block that anyway, except for pocket kings. But again, that's so unlikely, even though it's here. I think we absolutely should be leading. We're trying to get called by ace king... King X suited, or just King X, whatever.
Probably just King 10 and King Jack suited.
There's also, of course, a bunch of draws that our opponent can have here that he calls with, like Jack 10, like ace-x of diamonds.
And we're happy to fold those out if they decide to also.
We're happy to fold them out. We're happy to get a call.
Yeah.
Either way. And so we're charging an amount that they're mostly going to call, I think.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I don't think they're going to think, oh, God, you have a full house. I'm just going to fold my nut flush draw here. You know, right. I don't think that's happening. At $4 million, like, they're getting almost 4-to-1 to call. They're calling. But at least we're charging them instead of letting them check back for free.
Goes without saying that if Diaz is going to do this with this hand, he has to do it when he has draws as well.
Of course.
Now, he might not be in this spot in the main event in practice.
He should be.
He probably should be, though.
Yeah. Because, you know, we might fold out jacks and tens right now, which... Yeah. With ace-queen isn't great, but with a bluff is great, you know?
Or a hand like ace-jack or ace-ten without diamonds, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's good stuff that can happen. I'm sure he is also leading some of his draws some of the time if he's leading this.
All right. As Farns, can we resist the urge to call? Is it possible to raise here? Like, when we have the board so locked up?
Well, let's look at, if we call, how easy it is to get it all in on the river, right? So... They started with 27.8 effective. Diaz has put in now 4 on the turn, plus 2.7, that's 6.7, plus 2.3. So they just put in 9. So he's got, what, 19 left.
It's going to be about a pot size.
If we call, it's a pot size bet left. That's pretty good. I think we should just call. Like, we're in position. And we're going to scare away a lot of our opponents. Like, he's bluffing a lot, right? Why would we?
Well, we don't know in practice if he actually is.
Okay. In theory, he is. In theory, he's got a lot of bluffs. By the way, if he has value, great. We should probably be able to get it a lot of the times on the river. The thing we lose, of course, is if he has a hand just like this, we figure we're going to get it all in right now. And if he has, but if a diamond comes, we may not.
Right. That's the problem with calling is scare cards could kill our action from a queen.
Right. That said... They aren't scare cards for us, right? There's no the only scare card for us is the actual bad card for us, which is the case queen.
Yeah.
Everything else we feel very comfortable with. And so because we're in position, if a scare card comes and he checks, we can bet very small mm-hmm. for value and capture some of that value still and hope to get called.
Yeah.
And I think we often would if a diamond comes and we bet $4 million again or something like that. Like, it's going to be hard to fold trip queens if he really has that, right? He has enough, especially this hand. How's he going to fold this hand for $4 million on the river?
But can we get it all in right now against trip queens? Is it possible?
I don't know. Like, that's part of the thing about being 14 left in the main event, yeah. right? Like, I got to believe this hand, it's really hard for Diaz to fold this hand specifically.
Yeah, because it's the best queen.
With a pot size bet back, it'd be crazy to fold this hand. But this is the best queen. He doesn't have to have the best queen. He can have queen 10 suited here. He can have queen jack suited here. I don't think he can call those if we shove, can he?
Probably not.
Unless he thinks we're crazy. If he thinks we're crazy, we should shove.
Yeah.
If we've got a crazy image, for sure we should shove. I'm guessing Farns doesn't have that.
Yeah.
And then we should just call because it's too strong to move in, even though we're probably getting called by this exact hand.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with all that? By the way, there's a lot of other hands that we're probably going to fold out where we can keep the bluffs alive. If he's bluffing with like Jack 10 here and a diamond comes, he might shove the river.
Right.
Like, a scare card might be good. Too, you know, when he doesn't have it, he may feel like he needs to rep it.
Yeah, I mean, if he ever has diamonds or Jack 10, we want to keep those alive.
Yep.
So yeah, I like calling for that reason.
I think we're supposed to call.
And also, yeah, those are going to fold. And what if they get there on the river? You know,
right? Right. And also, what if Diaz actually? I mean, Diaz just can't fold Ace Queen here, right? If we were to shove, that's just too much.
It would have to be a complete soul read.
Yeah, that feels like crazy. Anyway, so I think it's a call. I like a call here.
That's what Farns does. He makes the call.
You agree?
I do.
Okay.
I do. There are some players we should find a raise against here, but this is not probably the time unless we know a lot about the player.
Mm-hmm.
The pot is 19.6 million now. The river is the deuce of spades. So it's now king of hearts, queen of diamonds, deuce of diamonds, queen of spades, deuce of spades.
Yep.
This looks like a good card for Diaz because it improves into a full house. I think it's a bad card for Diaz because it turns his win into a chop a lot of the time.
Yes.
Because Farns could easily have queen jack or queen 10 suited.
When Farns calls the turn, he has some kings and he's got some queens which are worse.
Yeah, and some draws that now missed.
Yep. I agree. This is a bad event, but it's not a horrible event, but it's not a good event. Like, you don't love it.
I think I like checking based on what we just said.
Because what the hell are we supposed to get called by if we bet?
A king is folding.
Well, the draws all missed. Let's be clear. If he's leading draws on the turn, a king is not necessarily folding. A king is not always supposed to fold.
Is not always supposed to fold. I think a king is folding.
Okay, that's probably true. Are aces going to fold? Because aces are checking back. I know that.
Yeah, I think aces are going to fold if a king is going to fold.
They move up in distribution a little bit and they block a few of the queens. I guess so does the king, though.
Yeah.
Well, no, the king blocks the full house, but it's the same thing. Same thing. I mean, I don't think it's right to say if a king folds, that means aces are folding, because aces are better.
Okay,
right?
Fair. But, I'm going to, without knowing anything about Farns except for his Hendon, I'm going to say he's folding a king and he's folding aces if Diaz bets again.
I think you're right, also because when Diaz bets again, it really screams, I have a full house here, because Farns can have the full house too. Farns can absolutely have a queen here. And you just think you're never getting a fold there in a million years.
So Diaz is going to bet, and my hit on it is that I don't like it. And I understand, like, the solver might like it, might think it, you have to bet because you have to have this in your range when you're betting.
Because the solver's calling with more stuff, so the solver's going to bet
more. But in this spot, in the main event, against a guy who's not, like, a crusher, I really think this is a check, because maybe the not crusher guy is less likely to bluff draws, but you're a lot more likely to get money from the draws if you check than if you bet. The draws are not going to raise you as a bluff.
Look, if we can't get called by a king or aces, we have to check this hand. There's no value in betting it, right?
Do you agree that it's likely that Farns is a player who's going to fold those hands?
I believe a king is probably folding the river. I'm not sure if aces are, but there aren't that many combos of aces. We have an ace in our hand. There's only three combos. There's way more kings, right?
Yeah.
So there's probably king jack off, king 10 suited, maybe even king. No. King jack off, king 10 suited, and ace king, right?
And king 9 suited potentially.
Yeah, maybe king 9 suited. That's right. So he's probably he's folding at least some of those, maybe all of those, based on his Hendon and all that. Like, he doesn't want to play a big sticky spot here either, right?
I mean, honestly, if I'm in Farn's spot and I have aces and a player takes Diaz's line and bets again on the river, if I don't know a lot about this player and think that they're like a player with a lot of moves, I'm probably folding aces because I assume it's just almost always a full house.
What if we just bet really tiny as Diaz here? Now it looks like we're blocking. What if we block? What if we bet 2 million on the river? We're going to get called by all those hands that
we're
worried
about folding.
It really
depends on if we think Farns is going to bluff the Jack 10 and Ace X of Diamonds that he missed.
Well, but the thing that's cool is we might induce those bluffs sometimes by betting 2 million too. He may be like, I can raise this now.
Maybe.
Like, you're afraid. You have a king and you're afraid, kind of a thing. Although I don't really know why you'd lead a
king. I mean, nobody would ever do that who knows anything.
But yeah, that's true. Yeah, so it should be like, but still, you could induce a bluff anyway, because he might be like, if he's got like Jack 10 specifically, he's trying to fold out the nut flush draw kind of a thing. This is really thin, though.
I think you're a lot more likely to induce a bluff by checking.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, so this is interesting. So a check is probably better because we don't think we can necessarily get called by these one pair of hands that we want to get called
by. Like chopping, like he's not going to fold a queen.
Ever. Of course not. He's always calling a queen.
Yeah.
So if he's always calling a queen, why would we bet?
Yeah.
If he's following the one pair of hands, which we think he probably is. But he's probably, if we check and he's got a draw, he's probably going to take some shots. Right? I would take a shot if someone checked me and I got the nut flush draw or Jack 10 here. I'd feel like I have to.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I wouldn't be able to do all this in the moment and think like, well, obviously you're checking a queen. And it'd be weird for you to have led a king. I'd be like, you're probably betting your queen and you probably didn't lead a king on the turn. So I'm betting to like win this fucking pot. That's it's kind of big now.
Yeah.
It's the main event. Aren't you scared, buddy?
I don't know if we could expect Farns to ever actually bluff with the draw or not. It's really,
I don't know,
it's really hard to know, but I just don't see there being a lot of value in the bet because I just don't imagine a worse hand calling.
If we know Barnes doesn't really have bluffs, if we check, if he's just going to give up, then we should probably bet tiny to try and get called by aces and ace king and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's like a very specific exploit. We have to really know a lot about the guy.
Well, you just said you don't know if he would bluff. So I'm saying, we've been playing with him for days, possibly. Yeah. Certainly hours. We may know some of this stuff about him. We may not.
All right. So Diaz bets 7 million. I'm not a fan of this bet.
I didn't know I wasn't a fan of a bet, but as soon as you said it, it really made sense to me that it probably isn't right.
Very different if it's a 3 on the river. I'm perfectly happy with the bet if it's like not a non-pairing card on the river.
I like it better against some of the other players. I feel like Farns is the guy you can't bet against here. I think Attenborough is the guy you can, because Attenborough is going to make hero calls and is way more likely to stick around, you know, with his one pair of hands and do other weird stuff. But Farns feels like he's very unlikely to have any of that.
Yeah.
So
I think this is a mistake.
Yeah.
Only because the two came, to reiterate.
Yep.
Like if a 3 came or a 4 came, I think it's totally fine.
Yeah, because we're trying to get called by worse queens here.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So as Farns, there's not really much to do except for move in, right? I mean, I guess you could min raise, which is
whatever,
like close to moving in anyway.
That's dumb. We should move in.
Yeah. So he moves in for like 19 million.
I mean, as Farns, you're sitting here, you're like, what can I ever get? I guess I need this guy to actually have the queen and actually call, right?
And have the queen and really think that I'm trying to bluff him off a chop.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because And you're like, in the world of my dreams, this guy somehow, some way is king queen.
Yeah, that's
it's possible.
That way you can get called.
I'm getting called by king queen. I can't leave that money on the table. And maybe he calls with the queen because, you know, chops and all.
Yeah.
Now, would ever in a million years Farns really move in here with ace queen himself? I doubt it because guess who can have king queen?
Yeah.
That would be David Diaz.
It doesn't seem likely.
So it seems questionable, but still, you got to take the shot. I mean, whatever. You have the second nuts, and it's the effective nuts. Of course, you got to raise.
All right, I'm going to say something, and it might piss some people off.
All right.
The way people are talking about this hand
in
the poker media and on our Discord and everywhere is talking about this is like the best fold in main event history because Diaz folds.
Yeah.
This is an easy fold. He folds. Yeah. It's not a hard fold.
I'm inclined to not be that intense about it, but I am inclined to mostly agree with you.
Easy is making it. I'm reacting to the strength of how people are saying it's such a good fold by saying it's an easy fold. It's not actually easy to fold when you have such a good hand. It sucks, but
look, if Farns has been bluffy at all, this is an amazing fold, or lucky as hell, or just lucky. If Farns isn't, and we're just the only reason why I'm saying Farns, I'm assuming Farns isn't bluffy is because of the amount he's won. So
well, that, but also like you also have to be. Like, it's like Stephen Chidwick level to be bluff. Like, the bluff card you should use is a king, right? That's the best hand to bluff with.
Yes.
People are not doing that at this stage in the main event. Probably almost none of the players, maybe Jorstad, is doing that at this stage in the main event.
I think, Attenborough is a candidate.
Okay, maybe. But, like, even those guys aren't doing it every time with a king.
Of course not.
Yeah, and it's like, why turn a king into a bluff here? It's a lot of people would feel that way.
Yeah.
Like Stephen Chidwick, he might do it every time. I'm not sure.
But I don't know. Yeah.
It really feels like there aren't going to be bluffs there too often. Like, I don't expect Farns, a guy with his history, to have King Jack here and be like, I know I'm no good. It's worth bluffing my stack here because he's going to fold a queen. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Do you?
No.
That makes this a relatively simple fold, doesn't it? If he's not moving in with a queen, which, like, maybe we can think, like, okay, maybe he feels like he can get value with a queen for whatever reason, but I have to really be right about that, and then I'm getting half the pot.
This is the other thing, is that assuming it's not a bluff, which it feels very hard for this to be a bluff when we put in 7 million, only have 12 million back.
Yeah.
Like, we just have a queen almost always, right?
Yeah.
So we're calling for half the pot at best. So even in like our nearly best case scenario, maybe not our best case scenario, but most of the good scenarios are we chop the pot.
Yeah.
Chopping the pot ain't that great. I mean, we get 17 million back. We have to put in 12 million to get 17 million back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's better than just having 12 million left, admittedly. But like all the times we're beat, which includes now, we're just out and we miss out on the money jump and we miss out on the opportunity to win $10 million, all this stuff. And if it doesn't feel like there's any bluffs here, then we're not really chopping the pot, like you're saying. Like, the guy's got king queen, the guy has king king, and that's just the deal, right?
And those hands make sense as played all the way through.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to believe he wouldn't
have
those.
And there's three combos of each of them.
Yep.
Like, they exist.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's possible.
Yeah.
So it always depends on who you're up against, of course, and what they're capable of.
Right. I mean, I believe Farns is a capable enough player to know that, like, Queens full is not an amazing hand to shove with here, right? Like,
I would assume
that
too.
A lot of players who are below Farns level will be like, oh, I have this is like the nuts. I feel like I have the nuts here. But that's not this guy, right? Like, he's just not Attenborough. He's just not Jorstad. But he's above the, like, I don't understand the relative value of this full
house. It's almost impossible to make it this far and be the guy who's shoving with just queens full here.
Yeah.
You know, it's late day seven of the main event. You would have had many opportunities to have shoved and gone bust against someone. You'd have get very lucky that no one ever had that beat. You know,
right, king, queen.
Yeah, yeah, the kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is a pretty, I'm going to say it again. I just think it's an obvious fold. Do you disagree?
I think obvious is, again, being a little bit unfriendly towards the fold, and a little unfair towards the fold. Again, this is in the moment.
It's difficult.
You don't have time to
do.
Like think it all through necessarily as straight. Now, he took a long time to think about
it. I'm not trying to disparage Diaz.
Right.
I'm not saying he did anything wrong in any case.
Of course.
All you're I'm saying is like the fold is not as magnificent as people are talking.
That I agree with, but that's different than obvious. That's all. I'm just going to say I just have a slight objection to your word choice.
Okay, that's fair. I'm using that word choice because I'm pretty sure in this scenario I would fold 100% of the time.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty straightforward fold. Let me say that. So, there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, I mean, Diaz makes the fold. It is a good fold. I mean,
of course.
Yeah.
Of course it is. I mean, do you think the solver's going to want to fold?
I kind of don't.
Well, the solver, of course, is going to have the right amount of bluffs.
Yeah.
So the solver's not going to be like Farns, we assume, and not have bluffs here, or after Diaz bets 7 million. Solver's going to have the correct amount of bluffs.
Yeah.
So then it's just going to be like, well, what hands am I supposed to call with here when the correct amount of bluffs are being done?
Yeah.
So Queens full probably is going to be a call, is my guess.
Yeah.
Again.
And I want to say, like, if you put me in Farns' seat and I have King Jack, I might know that that's a good bluff candidate. I think I'm probably too scared to pull the trigger anyway in this spot. Like, I'm probably not going to do it.
Yeah, it's really hard to do it. Because you need the right opponent also, right?
Like, do you feel like you would have the heart to pull the trigger if you were sitting here with 14 left in the main event?
Only against the guy who I thought was tight.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, against anyone, again, I'm keep going back to Adrian Attenborough, but as someone who's, like, thinks a little more expansively, if they know I'm capable of bluffing, then they're going to call with the right amount of combos. And so I would think it's not going to work enough of the time. This needs to work almost always for me to make this play, yeah. Right? Because I'm going to be blowing up my main event for doing this when I don't have to. I've still got 20 million in front of me.
Yeah.
Like, that's not bad. That's fine. I can last a long time. I can make the final table. I can win millions of dollars with this 20 million in front of me, you know? Like, I don't have to do this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good fold. It's a good fold by Diaz. But, you know, let's not throw a parade, huh? Let's not throw a parade.
Grant, very down on parades.
Let's see. That's actually true. I fucking hate parades. But let's see what the solver wants to do. Does it want to throw a parade? Let's find out.
Okay.
Well, you just know the solver is going to disagree with us on this one, right?
Of course. Like, the solver's now playing the main event. The solver thinks the solver's supposed to disagree with us on this. This is an exploitative situation here.
You might be surprised at how much it disagrees with us, Jonathan.
Bring it on. Solver.
I'll bring it on again.
Bring it on.
Three.
Times three, yeah.
Electric Boogaloo. All right. On the flop, let's go back. Danny Sprung did some solving. Pio style. Everyone did it right on the flop. It was very easy, and everyone did it right.
Mm-hmm.
Farns is supposed to c-bet. A lot of players are tempted to check back with this hand, I'm sure. But Pio likes a c-bet. Good job, solver. I like a c-bet, too. Of course, Diaz can't do anything but call.
Yep.
On the turn, this is where things diverge from what people would normally do, right? Diaz leads the turn when he trips up. And Pio loves it. It leads Diaz's hand 60% of the time.
So what's the problem?
No problem.
Oh, you thought you said it's starting to diverge on the turn.
From what normal people do.
Oh, okay.
Most people don't lead the turn with this hand, I think.
What? They should.
Most people don't. Most people are bad at poker, Jonathan. Did you know that?
The good players do. Anyway, go ahead.
Who's a good player? Nobody's a good
player. David Diaz!
Yeah. He seems like he did a pretty good job here.
Yeah.
We'll see what solver says later, huh?
Yeah.
Kings always flats the turn.
Of course they do.
That's just how it goes. All right, the river. This is the juice. This is the buttery pancakes right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's a weird thing. Pio prefers the Diaz jam versus bet this normal amount. Denny even referred to this amount as a block bet. When Diaz bets 7 million, it's really doesn't feel like a block bet. You know, it's like...
I mean, it's 7 million into 20.
Yeah.
So it's 35% of the pot.
Yeah.
It's a little small. And also, doesn't he have about pot back?
Yeah.
He's got a 1-to-1 stacked pot. So it's a very natural jam.
Yeah, I suppose it is.
But he's trying to make an exploitative bet because he's like, it's the main event. How am I going to call by a worse hand if I go all in here?
Yep.
The guy has almost the same stack as me. He's just not calling it off with worse than a queen. So he's trying to bet an amount that can actually get called by other hands.
Right. Yeah.
So that makes sense that the solver would want him to jam because it's a 1-to-1 stack to pot, and you're going to jam your bluffs if you have bluffs here.
Maybe so. Of course, the solver doesn't know it's the main event and all that, and then you're never getting called by a worse hand if you jam, but whatever.
Come on.
Here we are. It's also okay with him checking with ace-queen, which I think would have been an interesting play.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
But we're checking to... Induce. I guess we see how he sizes it, but it's hard to get value even if he bets tiny and we raise. But
maybe easier than betting, though.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Here's where some stuff happens. I mean, Farns is supposed to move in, obviously.
One would think.
All right. Pio thinks folding ace queen is a massive error.
Of course
We didn't expect otherwise. But here's some things. As played, Pio does jam hands that are worse than ace queen, including aces and ace king and king jack.
So it's blocking.
Yeah.
That's why, because it's blocking king queen and queen jack. That's what the king jack is and stuff like that.
And cool. Aces is because it blocks...
Ace queen.
Ace queen, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So this is one of the reasons why it wants to jam ace queen here because it knows it has bluffs and it's got to balance that with value. And so it's going to pick top full house as value. Yeah. It makes perfect sense.
This was the most predictable solver thing ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, we think it was a good fold and the solver is going to hate it.
Well, just... the solver should hate it for where we are. Like, yeah. If you're playing a cash game and you bet small on the river and get raised with top full house, you should almost always call.
Yeah.
Right? But in a main event with 14 people left or whatever it is, against a guy who is tight and careful, has never ever made any real money in poker in his life, as far as we can tell, and is now like on the verge of $1 million payday. Yeah, him raising the river, that feels really different. And I don't believe he would ever raise, he may never even raise a bluff because you're repping queens full anyway. And his value is almost always better than queens full.
So you're saying Pio's a big fish?
I'm saying Pio's
a fish.
Pio should get in the back seat because I'm driving the car now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Are we there yet? Shut up.
At
I'll tell
end,
you when
at
we're
the end
there.
Of the podcast, yeah, we are.
Oh.
We're there.
Oh, we are.
It's over.
Music is my sunlight, and all I need is one mic. And I can show every single MC how it's done right. Every time I come by, I'm bound to leave them tongue-tied. I'm sipping on liquor, a quitter is what I'm not. We got one life, and I took a minor break, but I'm back to claim the throne. I'm gonna be traveling the globe, we still have time to make.